Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through the book of Deuteronomy. This is week three, and we've sort of gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. I mean, just sort of, well, not slow maybe, just sort of smooth,
just some recaps.
Yeah, that we're sort of getting into it.
Yeah, so chapters one through three were all the mistakes that the Israelites had made after they came out of Egypt.
All of them?
And all of them. Three chapters.
Just lists.
And you can hear it in Moses' voice. Now, I know he's writing here, but he's lamenting, right, about the mistakes that have been made.
Yeah.
And we hear that through chapters four through six, which was last week. And Moses is old now. He's near the end of his life. He's not going to be allowed to be in the promised land. And he's pleading with the people to follow the Lord. He wants to finally get his people into the promised land.
Yeah.
Even though he knows he can't make it.
And by old, we're talking, he's like 120 years old.
That's old.
So the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, growing up and, being trained and all of that stuff. The second 40 years of his life, he is over with his in-laws in Midian, in the wilderness, and he's shepherding sheep and goats and whatever out in the desert, right?
Right.
He got to know that desert really well, which was helpful because the next 40 years.
Right. Well, then he ends up in Egypt. He goes back to Egypt, right? Brings everybody out.
Everybody out to wander through that area for shepherding people. Shepherding people instead of the sheep. So yeah, I mean, he's like 120 years old now. And like you said, God said, you're not going into the promised land. So he's doing everything he can to set the nation up well before he hands them off to Joshua, who would take them into the new land.
Right. So we see him giving the Ten Commandments a second time. We also see him pleading again to follow God's laws. And he even says, tell these laws to your children, tell them to your grandchildren, put it on the walls, put it on your head, write them down.
Yeah.
And he even says, we will be innocent if we keep the commandments.
Yeah.
And he knows that they weren't before. So you hear this pleading.
Yeah.
So we get into chapter seven and we see God, God is telling Israel, here's the plan. When we get into the promised land, here's what you're going to be doing. And he tells them that they're going to have to defeat seven nations that are already there.
Yeah.
These are the nations that the 10 spies from 40 years ago said, these guys are too huge and we can't beat them.
Yeah.
And I said 10 because there were 12 spies. 10 said we can't beat them and two said we could.
Yeah, Joshua and Caleb.
Yep.
And interestingly enough,
they're still with us.
They're still here, and they're going to be heading the charge to go in.
Yeah. And God says, I get it about those nations. They are more numerous than you, and that's the point. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver them for you.
Yeah.
And then he also says, you must utterly annihilate them.
Yeah.
No intermarrying with them, for they're going to lead you away from God. You must tear down all their altars, all their sacred pillars, all their idols. And God has chosen Israel over all the other nations on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So that leads into the first question. What kind of God do we have if he's telling the Israelites to utterly annihilate another nation?
Yeah. Yeah. We touched on this briefly last week, but we have a just God. We have a righteous God. And these specific nations, it's interesting. God didn't tell them to wipe out everybody in the entire area like a genocide. He had them wipe out specific tribes or specific groups. These were the worst of the worst of the worst. These were the most pagan. These were demonic. These were, child sacrifice and cannibalism and a whole bunch of other things that God did not want bleeding over into Israel.
Right. Which especially don't marry into that.
Yeah.
Because they knew they would be taken away.
And even just living next door and treaties and trade and everything. And so they had 40 years now to evacuate. When we get into the book of Joshua, they go into the first city is Jericho. And Rahab says, we heard what your God did for you at the Red Sea. Like, yeah, that was 40 years ago. And
we were petrified.
And we're petrified. And we're still petrified. It's like, well, you could have left. You didn't have to die. And so, but God, even before that, had given them centuries of, you know, when Abraham was there, when Isaac and Jacob, and before Egypt and all of that. And these people have just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Right.
And so what God does is God uses Israel as his method or tool of judgment. So what kind of God do we have? We have a gracious God. We have a merciful God. We have a long-suffering God. But we also have a just God. And these nations, he told them they would be punished. And now this is when it's going to happen.
Right. So God reminds the nation of the covenant that he has with them. And again, the nation of Israel. It's a conditional covenant. God will love and bless you. He'll make you numerous, bless you with many children. The soil will produce much produce. The nation will be blessed above all, which is awesome. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness and all diseases.
If. And that's the whole thing. And that's sort of a theme of Deuteronomy. Is Deuteronomy is this big if.
Right.
And of course, we know this.
Yeah, God says again, you must destroy these all the people of these seven nations. You must not pity or worship their gods. You must remember that God will fight them, and he will release hornets among them, and he will make them panic.
Yeah.
So, hornets?
I had to look this one up because I'm like, good. I do not remember that one at all. Yeah. And I can't find a place where it actually says that it happened.
That it happened, right.
You know, in Joshua or whatever. But I did find that he said the same thing to the first generation in Exodus 23. This is a second giving of that promise as well.
Right. So don't we also see hornets in the during end times as one of the plagues where I guess it's more
locusts.
We get stung by something.
Yeah. So locusts right. So they're like demonic locusts or something that have a sting or a bite. Yeah. I don't know. And that's the thing is that it's the word. I did a word study on it and everything. And it's not like a very, well used. I mean, it doesn't show up a lot. But it did show up in Exodus 23.
Like you also said, if, right? So a lot of these ifs didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. So it's possible that it didn't happen. If it did, I mean, that would have been cool. But we don't have a record of it.
Yeah, we do see where there's panic that happens.
And I wonder if it's something like that. Would God,
Middle of the night and...
Yeah. Yeah, so it could be.
They end up fighting each other.
That happened and he sent hornets in and, freaked everyone out on the opposing side.
Right.
And it just didn't say that that's what happened, right. But God sent a confusion on them. And this could be what it was. Right. Yeah.
All right. So God's going to fight them and he's going to fight them little by little. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, wild animals will overrun you.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I never thought about it this way. So God is looking forward. And if you think about it, if they go in and defeat a nation, they have a lot of area right there. Now they're going to live there. They're going to populate. They're going to grow. Now they need more area.
Yeah.
And then God will provide that more area. If everything is wiped out at first, they're still going to be in this little area. And all these other places are just going to go wild.
Yeah.
And there's going to be wild animals in there. And now they're going to ruin everything. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
And when we read the word nation here, I mean, we have to be a little bit careful because it's bigger than a tribe.
Yeah. But the nation of Cuba.
Yeah, it's really small. I mean, you've got these seven nations listed plus other nations that aren't listed here, all within this tiny strip of land that we call Israel today.
Yeah.
We're not talking like hundreds of millions of people, right. So we have to be a little bit careful with that. But you're right, as far as the time that it took, Joshua took somewhere between 5 and 7 years to take over this tiny strip of land. So it was slow.
Right.
And this is what I'm talking about. Even once they started, people had lots of time to evacuate. They did not have to stay and fight.
It wasn't like they were bouncing around other areas. They were making...
Yeah.
Just pushing through.
Yeah, very, very methodically, slowly pushing through. Yeah.
God reminds them that they're on the cusp of entering the promised land. And 40 years ago, there was another generation that was in the exact same position. Only they sinned and lost that opportunity.
Yeah.
So don't screw it up. That's basically what he's saying. And then God intentionally humbled these people. He said, look, I provided manna for you for 40 years. Your clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. You got to keep the commandments and statutes. Israel, you're going to eat your fill in this awesome land. And he also reminds them not to feel so self-important. You know,
yeah.
I didn't take over this land. You know, he's the one doing the work.
Right.
Not the Israelites. And if they're going to forget God and follow another God, then God will annihilate the Israelites.
Yeah. And so not completely destroy them because he has promises right. and covenants to fulfill, but he's taken out one generation. He can take out another generation. Right. And, you know, of course that's what happened.
Right. So God's still talking in chapter 9. He reminds them that they're going into Canaan, and the Anakites are tall people. And, you know, how can they fall?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing.
These are, I mean, the same nation or tribe or group of people that the spies, the scouts saw 40 years ago. You know, they're too tall. We can't win. You know, we see some of this giantism still in effect. We saw a couple of weeks ago, Og, right? Og's...
Right. Oh, the bed.
Yeah, the bed was 13 feet long, you know, type thing. So there's giantism in some of these tribal areas.
Right. So God said he is going to go first before the Anakites, and as a devouring first, and he'll defeat them and he'll subdue them.
Yep.
And he wants to remind Israel... don't think it's because Israel is good. You are not good, right? Yep. You're wicked. The nation isn't special. God is doing this because of the promise and covenant, as you just mentioned, with Abraham,
yeah,
and Isaac and Jacob,
too. Yep.
And God reminds Israel they're stubborn. It's not the worst trait.
Well, you know, I just love the fact that he has to remind them, by the way, you're stubborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't listen.
So he of course goes back from the time you left, just like any adult would, right? Any parent would. From the time you left Egypt until you came to this place, you were constantly rebelling against me. And he lists it, right? At Oreb, he's angry enough to destroy you. The Ten Commandments were around that time. While Moses was away, Aaron and the group made idols.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible, right? Moses threw down the tablets. He fell before God. And for 40 days, he didn't eat or drink. He was just a participating God of, you know, don't kill him.
Yeah.
You know, we can figure out a different way.
Yep.
He was terrified that God was going to annihilate the nation. And Moses certainly reminded God of Abraham and his covenant.
Yeah, which is really cool. I mean, you know, God doesn't need to be reminded of anything.
Right.
But when Moses was praying and interceding for the nation, he's like, we remember this. I remember this stuff. You know, even if people don't, I remember this stuff. And you are a God who keeps your promises. And so I trust that you will follow through with this.
I think the growth of Moses is also cool. And this is really the pinnacle of that, where it starts out, you know, whether or not he seems like he wants to be in charge, but he doesn't want to have any of the bad stuff. He only wants the good stuff.
Yeah.
And
all the privileges, but none of the responsibilities.
Yeah. And also, hey, you're supposed to be leading us. I don't know what to do. You know, and he's really, you know, I don't speak well. So Aaron comes in. You know, it's always excuses for a while. And now it's him realizing God's going to take this bad. I need to get in here and, you know, do my job. And that's the way he saw his job. He even said, you know, take me at one point, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was the mediator between God and the nation of Israel. He was that stand between, and which is interesting because we'll see this here in a few chapters. But God is going to promise to send somebody else, just like Moses, to stand between God and man. And Jesus, of course, fulfilled that as the prophet like Moses.
Yeah, so chapter 10, God tells Moses to create two new tablets with the Ten Commandments and to make an ark. And that's not the ark. the Ark Ark.
Yeah, right. Noah's Ark. This is Moses' Ark, the Ark of the Covenant.
So God, again, wrote the commandments, and they were put into the Ark, and Moses stayed with God for 40 days.
This is still part of the, the flashback. This is this part of the, I mean, they're not doing it again, right? This is just in case anybody's wondering, it's like, why are they doing this a third time? No, this is still just, he's reminding them of where they came
from. So he did break the, he did throw down the tablets.
Yeah.
Right.
But that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And then he got the new ones. So this is still part of the reminder of what he's telling the second generation of what we did 40 years ago.
But now it seems like we click forward because the nation's on the move, not yet in the promised land.
Right.
Aaron dies.
Yeah.
His son, Eleazar, becomes priest in his place.
Yep.
The tribe of Levi, now these part of this tribe will become the priests in the future. They're not quite there yet, but they're tasked with carrying the ark and standing before the Lord to serve him and formulate blessings in his name. So they're starting to pick up the priest-like things that they will be responsible for.
Yeah.
And then also Levi has no allotment or inheritance. The Lord is their inheritance.
Yeah. So when the nation goes into the land, and we see this in the book of Joshua, the land will be divided up among the tribes, right? Well, because Levi is going to be the ministers, the priests, and non-priest ministers in the land, they'll either live where, some of them will live where the ark and the tabernacle will be, right? Others will be scattered across the other tribes so that they can actually minister to the
people.
To the people in the tribes. Right. But they're not going to have their own land, their own tribal land.
Right.
So they have to be supported by the other tribes, and they with their sacrifices and other stuff. I mean, they'll have little plots of land. They'll have a house, you know, type thing. They can sell their house and whatever, but it's not like they have a tribal land that they can, you know,
it's not like they're going to be farming either.
Right.
Right. So they have to rely on them for food too.
Right. Yep.
So God tells Israel what he requires, and he wants them to revere him and obey his commandments. You know, it's fifth time we've heard that. To love him and serve him with all of his mind and being,
mm-hmm.
and to keep the commandments that he's giving today. So nothing new.
Nothing new at all. Right. The same stuff he's been saying for years.
Right. And again, he says, look, I chose the ancestors, not you.
Right.
So stop being so stubborn.
Yeah. This isn't about you.
And then we end this week in chapter 11. We get into the first 15 verses. And God reminds the older people of the nation what he did to help the Israelites. And this group of people certainly saw God do those acts in Egypt, you know, coming out.
So when we say older, here's the oldest that it could be at this point. Because the first generation that died out was the army, the military-aged men, right? So that's 20 and older. So if you're 19 years old, you make the cut, you don't die through, and it's been about 40-ish years, 60, right? 38 to 40 years. Yeah. So now we're pushing, you know, late 50s.
Right.
Okay. Is the literally, with the exception of Moses and Joshua and Caleb, there is no man that is 60 years old.
Okay.
You know, so late 50s. So that's the oldest that they could possibly be. And then it goes down from there.
Right. So these are really the children who didn't see the acts that happened in Israel, or sorry, in Egypt.
Some of them would have, the oldest of them, you know, would have, but then the youngest would have been
in their teens, so they would have been,
so they
would have remembered.
Yeah, some of them would have, some of them would have been teens, some would have been children, and many would not have been, you know, born at all yet,
But they need to be strong enough to listen to God and follow God. And if you pay attention to the rules, you're going to have a blessed land that produces more than is needed.
Yeah.
And God will provide. And so it's kind of a cool place to stop the reading this week with God will provide.
God will provide. Yeah. Yeah. He always promised to give them more than they needed because he wanted them ultimately to be a blessing to the people around them. Once the demonic ones are taken out, you know, get rid of those. And then you can be a blessing to the world. How can they be a blessing to the world? Because he's going to bless them if they stick with him. That's going to be the whole, be the whole thing, right?
Good.
So yeah, it's a great place to end. Lots of promises, lots of blessing. This is going to be really, really good for you. if you obey, which, you know. But we're not there yet.
We'll I think we have the same promise today.
Yeah, yeah. Promise. Similar. So hopefully you enjoy the reading this week. As things come up, we try to put in some historical context here and some stuff that you may or may not remember. If you have questions, please send those in. We love to answer questions and just see some of the things that jump out at you as you're reading this. We love to hear what you're seeing as well. Subscribe and follow and share this with other people. And we will pick up here, middle of chapter 11, next time.